season two.
We're back.
We are back.
Let's do it.
That's good intro music, right?
For return. Great return music.
I always say I just want to let it play the whole time, but I kind of really feel that way.
No, it's a great song that we introduced for season two.
It is. We took the summer off.
Yeah, we did.
Nothing wrong with that.
We were busy.
A lot of people take the summer off.
You know,
teachers.
For
the NBA.
That's what it says.
Yeah, you said the same thing. About time.
Oh yeah.
Alright, so welcome back to The Long Two. It's Season 2, Episode 1. If you were with us last season, we did about 7 episodes,
I think we did about 7 or 8.
Yep. Started midway through the year. I am Matt Deanna, and he is...
Steve Harney.
And so, yes, this is The Long Two, brought to you by the HP Basketball Network. We're on Audio Boom now. We're making moves, right? Still on the iTunes channel. But anyway, it's Thursday night when you get this. It'll probably be Friday. And guess what? The NBA starts on Tuesday.
Yes.
Tuesday,
it's
finally.
There, finally.
No more draft. No more summer league. No more preseason. Thank God, preseason's
there.
Over. But we're going to crank out an entire season preview in 60 minutes or less, right?
I think we can do it.
I have a very strong opinion about the 60-minute thing, by the way. Yeah. I know as a listener of podcasts, it's really intimidating when you see it's more than an hour. So if it's less than an hour, I feel good.
Yeah.
I can invest that time.
More than an hour, that's a huge commitment.
Right. All right, so I've listened to a few season previews already, it turns out, and most people go alphabetically, right?
Mm-hmm.
By conference, but still alphabetically.
Yep.
We're going to do that. We're just going to do it in reverse.
I like it.
And we're going to play a little game. It's called Contenders and Pretenders.
Yep.
So every team is either a contender or a pretender. There's no happy medium, right?
I like it.
So we're going to start firing them off. We're just going to say why, and we'll move on from there. We even have some Twitter questions, too. We've engaged with our social media-ites, right?
That. We are making moves.
So we'll get those at the end. All right. Steve Harney, we're going to start in the West.
Let's do it.
West, y'all.
All right.
Starting backwards, we've got the Utah Jazz. So I ask you, are the Utah Jazz contenders or pretenders?
They're pretenders. I don't see much happening. And unfortunately for them, the West is pretty heavy. It's going to be hard to crack anywhere into those juggernauts that are sitting up top. Especially you got Dante Exum out for the season.
This could be good.
You think? With Trey Kirk running?
What if they don't use a point guard? What if they go Rodney Hood, Gordon Hayward, and... I'm drawing a blank right now. Wow. The other wing.
You got Burks, Favors,
Burks. Burks. If you went Burks and Hayward and maybe Rodney Hood with an interesting lineup. All I'm saying is there's options.
Burks has a good ceiling. He left last year injured.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, he'll be back healthy.
They like him. I mean, point guard unless you have one of those players as you have the point forward or whatever, you know, the guys who are just, they don't have a position, you're LeBrons and stuff like that, you need that point guard just for tempo. They control your offense, they control everything. I mean, tempo, emotion, they get you going, they get you into your offense, out of your offense. Trey Burke is good, he's quick, he's a little shoot heavy.
He's a terrible shooter.
Yeah, but he likes to shoot.
I think the only shot he made last season was the game winner against the Knicks.
Yeah.
I think he literally just made that one shot.
How many did he take, too? That's many shots.
Here's the thing. I'll say they're contenders because I think they make the playoffs. So that's my dividing
line.
I don't think they're contenders like championship contenders. That's ridiculous. But I think they slide in at the 8 seed. So... with that caveat, I call them contenders.
They drafted Trey Lyles. What were they? Let's see, their record last year, 38-44. Do you think that's enough?
I think they're going to be over 500, honestly.
Yeah.
I think the 8 seed's going to be around 42, 44 wins this year. I think in years past, it took almost 46 wins to make the playoffs in the West. They'll be closer to having a 500 record. Because I think that bottom tier of the West isn't as good as it's been in years past, like that 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 range. However, I think they're that team. Trey Lyles is good. I like him. But I really like Derek Favors. I am a big Derek Favors fan.
He's their wild card.
He's
like
become low-key excellent. Like, everyone has raved about Rudy Gobert, and they talked about how the Jazz had the best defense in the league once they traded Enes Kanter. I don't refute all that. But Derek Favors, that trade with Deron Williams winds up being magnificent for them.
I just think
great.
I would have them making the playoffs with Dante Exum. I think his injury hurts. Okay. I don't trust Trey Burke. Favors could take it to the next level. They have some good players. They got quality players. This is a tough West.
I think they make the playoffs if Quinn Snyder continues to have just this amazing disciplined defense, and they get funky with lineups, and Trey Burke is not their highest minutes played point guard. That's how they make the playoffs.
They're going to get to 40, in between that 40 to 45 win mark.
That should be good enough.
It may be good enough. It may not be. I don't know.
The other thing I will say is we're going to rely on the statistical projections from two of Nylon Calculus's finest. One, Kevin Farragut, who just became an intern for the Dallas Mavericks. Spoiler alert if anyone didn't know that. He has the Utah Jazz at 41 wins. I think we wouldn't necessarily disagree with that.
Nope.
And Nick Restifo, who still writes for Nylon Calculus, we're lucky enough to say, has him at 42 wins. So I think both of those are in line with what we're talking about here, right?
They're going to be right at that lower end of the 40 range, and they're going to squeak in. I mean, they're going to be barely in there.
Well,
they're last seed.
To quote A Tribe Called Quest, we got the Jazz.
Yep.
So moving on, the San Antonio Spurs are next on the list. Contenders or pretenders?
Oh, yeah, well, obviously contenders. their pickup of LaMarcus Aldridge is going to be huge. A lot of times these big free agency pickups, the worry is how are they going to mesh. I don't have that issue with anybody the Spurs pick up. They're going to be good. They're going to be very good.
Here's my question for you. Are you worried about Tony Parker?
Yes and no. I think he's getting up there.
Because Corey Joseph is gone and Patty Mills is great, but they're thinner than they've ever been before. Like, normally their depth has been what really held them on, and the minutes played. Like, they could play everyone in the 20s of minutes played per game and make it throughout the season and maintain enough to be poised for the playoffs, right?
Absolutely.
Splitter's out. Corey Joseph is out. Like, they've lost some of that depth, and they sacrificed it to get Aldridge, which is obviously an enormous pickup. But are they deep enough to, like, legitimately contend, like, conference finals or better contention?
Well, okay, Ginobili's what? He's pushing 40. He's going to be 38 this year. He's going to be tough. Danny Green has looked better and better. Tony Parker, I think his game allows him to still be, he's not going to be a dominant force like he used to be. And he's one of those point guards too that could take over a game and didn't get a lot of press. He was he was one of those guys that could just under the radar just kill your team.
I was worried how banged
he's
up
smart.
He might be.
He's a smart guy. And smart players know how to get around some of that stuff. You got Kawhi Leonard, you have, arguably one of the best top two defenders in the league.
Absolutely. Defense player of the year. Do you think he's an all-star this year?
Oh, yeah.
Okay. That's fair.
He'll be an all-star this year.
All right, so Kevin Farragut has the San Antonio Spurs at 55 wins, and Nick has the Spurs at 62 wins. What do you think about those?
I think they're going to be mid-50s. It's the Spurs. They've added talent.
Right, exactly.
Remember, they got David West sitting there, too.
Mm-hmm. They're deep.
That's true.
They're deep. Okay, they're deep in different ways than before.
But they're slow.
Because I just completely contradicted what I said before.
They're a little slower than a lot of the other West powerhouses, but they've been slow prior, and it doesn't seem to harm them too much.
We're going to see a different offense than we've seen the past couple seasons with them.
We'll be a little more patient.
The two finals against the Heat, I think this is going to be a different offensive team. They're going to reinvent themselves a little. Going to be a lot more post-ups. I lean more towards the 55 than the 62 on the wins here, just because they're known to not necessarily go ham in the regular season. So
starting five-wise, do you think they have Duncan and Aldridge in there at the
Absolutely.
Same time?
Yeah, I think they definitely start them both. I wrote about this a little bit in the offseason, how when some of the earlier Spurs championships, they need Duncan to play kind of like David Robinson played when Duncan was the power forward, and even like how some of the other centers like Nestorovich and all those other dudes, the role he starts to become a much, much better version, but in that role, and Aldridge assumes Duncan's old role. Because their shooting is similar in terms of that mid-range game. It's just Aldridge is more prolific at this point.
He is.
But Duncan played like a champ last year.
He did.
So if they manage his minutes right,
And that's where it is. And the Spurs are fantastic at managing minutes.
Yeah.
They're
in the mix, obviously. They're in the mix. They're contenders. All right, here's a good one for you, because I have some very passionate feelings about this. The Sacramento Kings. Are they contenders or pretenders?
This one's going to be tough. The Kings, again, my big thing is the West is just, it's a powerhouse.
Mm-hmm.
And, you know, just because... I my answer may be pretenders doesn't mean they're not on their way.
Oh, just own it. Just own
they're
it.
They're pretenders. Really, nobody really scares you on that team.
Oh, you watch your mouth.
Nobody scares you.
Boogie Cousins? Have you seen the clip of Boogie Cousins dunking on Anthony Davis the other day?
Yeah.
It was a thing of beauty.
He's a big man. He's supposed to dunk on people.
I give you Boogie Cousins. Rudy Gay is playing like a legitimate...
I'll give you Rudy Gay.
Like, star-level basketball player.
You don't know how Cauley Stein's going to react.
Now, this is blasphemy.
You don't know how he's going to play.
I have irrational feelings about these Kings, and especially Willie Cauley Stein. I love him as a basketball player. I think he is the modern center. He is the embodiment of what every team wants in this new version, this new age center, of rolling to the rim, incredibly athletic, defensive stopper. We lock him in for a 12-year contract right now. I irrationally love the Kings. In case you missed it, I wrote NBA League Pass rankings this past week, right? And the Kings were number one for me. They've got some alternate uniforms they're rolling out once in a while. They've got a high draft pick in Willie Cauley-Stein. They've got all these weapons. They're never on national TV, like, ever. They're the team you want to watch in League Pass. And they have the crazy factor. Okay. You don't know what Rondo and George Karl and Boogie are going to do on any given night, right? Okay. I'd love to see McLemore finally get some shine. They got Bellinelli to bomb from deep. All I'm saying is, all those things I said about the Jazz before, about if their defense is still as stout as it was, which analysis tends to indicate they don't actually carry over from the second half of last season into next season, right? And if they don't solve the point guard issue, being Utah... The Kings might slip into the 8th seed. What's today's date? The 22nd of October?
Okay,
I just said it. They might.
Okay, they're going to need, I think, more depth at point. I think Rondo's done. Rondo is not a factor anymore. I do think Collison coming in could run that point guard spot much better. Rondo doesn't have his burst anymore. And he's never had a jump shot.
So I'd actually like to see them play together.
You think? I just haven't seen anything impressive from Rondo in how many years? It's been at least 3 years, four years.
Two point guards in a George Karl lineup, I think, could be really fun. And Boogie could play point guard.
We have to see Cauley Stein. And he's somebody that I agree. He's got huge upside. Great big man. I mean, I like the draft pick when they got him. But I want to see, midway through the season, I want to have a chat about Cauley Stein again so we can see where he's at.
Oh, we will. We will chat about him.
Just like anything, defenses adjust. That's what these guys are paid to do. They can adjust. Let's see how he plays. You know, there's a lot of other big men in the league now.
Kevin and Nick have the Kings at 36 and 37 wins, and I say to that, blasphemy. That's my number 8 seed in the playoffs if the Jazz fall off. That's one gigantic if. All right, let's keep it moving. Portland Trailblazers, pretenders or contenders?
Portland Trailblazers this year will be... they were 51-31 last year. They picked up Mason Plumlee and Davis. I think they are... I want to say contenders.
I don't.
Aldridge is a huge loss. I mean... They just lost too many.
Their starting lineup last year was Damian Lillard, Wes Matthews, Nick Batum, LaMarcus Aldridge, and Robin Lopez.
The
returning starters are Damian Lillard and Damian Lillard. That's about it. No, they went into rebuild mode.
And they were a good team to watch last year.
Last year, yes, but this year they're pretenders.
I would love to say it. I don't think they get past I don't think they win more than 35 games this year.
Kevin and Nick have them at 38 and 35, respectively. The thing is, they could be sneaky good because Terry Stotts is a brilliant NBA mind, and Damian Lillard
is a beast.
I'm a huge fan of, and I really like CJ McCollum's game. I think those are 2 points.
Plumlee's underrated, underrated good. That's really it, though.
I actually like
Gerald Henderson. Not bad for a trade.
I like Ed Davis, and I'm curious to see what Noah Vonleh can do.
Yeah.
Because he'll finally get some time, I think. So there's options there, but realistically, they're pretenders.
Yeah.
I'm sorry. Phoenix Suns, up next.
Pretenders.
Really?
Yeah.
Where do you see them falling within the Kings, Utah Jazz, that kind of contingent?
Now, here's where they could be sneaky. Hey, you lose Dragic. Isaiah Thomas is gone. And Bledsoe, Knight.
39-38 projected wins.
They could be too bad. PJ Tucker.
You know who they gained?
Morris, not scaring you.
You know who they gained?
Tyson Chandler.
Yeah, no, but who they really gained? Mirza Teletovic. I'm going to go ahead and assume you haven't watched a lot of Brooklyn Nets the past couple of years.
No, I haven't.
Yeah, and he was hurt for a lot of last year. That man is lights out.
He's not bad?
He is lights out. You put him behind the arc and get out the way and give him the ball and let him shoot. Him and Brandon Knight with Eric Bledsoe facilitating, that's an interesting three-point
they're not
arc
deep.
You got covered.
Hey, they got, Devin Booker is,
He's another shooter. So
he's a big time shooter.
Booker, PJ Tucker, Brandon Knight, and Teletovic. You got some 3-point shooting right there. You've got Tyson Chandler rolling to the rim and teaching Alex Len his game. I think that's a great mentor
Markieff
for Alex
Morris
Len.
Isn't bad. I mean, he's.
If he stays with them.
Yeah.
There's been trade rumors all summer. He's actually come back. We'll see what happens. But
we'll see.
I wrote in the preview this year for HP Basketball, which you can pick up for only $5 online through June Mag. It's a great buy. Over 300 pages. Sorry, shameless plug. The lineup I picked for them to be my most favorite was Tyson Chandler, PJ Tucker, Teletovic, Knight, and Bledsoe. Super small, super 3-point shooting. I think that would be fascinating to watch. All the gunners and then a rim roller in Chandler. Having said that, I don't think they make the playoffs. I have to call them pretenders. I'm sorry.
It hurts saying that. It's too strong. Too strong.
On the other hand, to keep it moving, next up is the Oklahoma City Thunder.
Ooh.
Contenders or pretenders?
I, being a Washington Wizards fan, I would like to say I hope they're pretenders because that means Durant could come home to D.C.
This noise you hear is me shaking my head because you're ridiculous.
I don't think they're good. They're definitely contenders.
How far do you think they go?
So do you want... How far do I think they go to where Durant stays, or how far do I think they go...
No. I am not here to prognosticate the free agency of a free-acting individual that we have no clue what he's going to do. I am curious of how the Oklahoma City will do this season. How far do they go?
To be quite honest, it's going to depend on their seed. I think they're going to get a top 5 seed, and I think they go 2 rounds.
You think they get eliminated in the second round? So Kevin and Nick have them both at 55 wins. I think that's low. I think they're going to win 60. I think that starting lineup is unbeatable.
I'm going to agree with you. I think they get to the high 50s. Low 60s.
They have a legit question at 2 guard. That's fair. Andre Roberson is a Tony Allen type where we're learning how you can just kind of play off of them and it becomes a liability. However, I like Anthony Morrow. I say you put him out there at the 2 guard and you live and die with that, knowing that he's one of the best 3-point shooters literally ever. Like, the man is an amazing shooter. Put him out there and live and die with the defensive issues. You don't play him with Cantor because then you've got 2 wet paper bags on defense. But that team can produce points. Like, they're gonna put up a ton of points. I think 60 wins is in play. I'm saying conference finals at least.
I like it.
I'm excited.
Conference finals is nice. I'll take that. But my question to you is, how do they hold up injury-wise?
So, all indications point to Russell Westbrook is not actually human. So he'll be fine. And Kevin Durant seems incredibly healthy in the preseason, for whatever that's worth.
They had more injuries than that last year.
They did. They had Ibaka was hurt and everything, too. I mean, yeah, it's an issue. But I got to just assume that everyone's going to be generally healthy. Otherwise,
I would have them going to the finals with you, conference finals, if injuries weren't such a big question mark.
That's fair. New Orleans Pelicans. Speaking of injuries, their whole team is busted. Yeah. I think they have like six healthy players right now.
I think they do.
They have Anthony Davis and a few other healthy guys, and everyone else is busted. But are they contenders or pretenders?
They're pretenders.
Oh!
I don't think they're there yet. They're not there yet. Anthony Davis is amazing, but if anything happens to him, I mean, they're 20 wins.
Alvin Gentry is a wizard. On the offensive end, I'm excited to see what they can do.
I hope
everyone gets healthy quick because. Do you think they make the playoffs? Because I certainly do.
If everybody's healthy, yes.
Even if they're not all healthy, I think Anthony Davis is good enough to get them into the playoffs at this point. He is just that good.
All right. Well, Tyreek Evans is out for, 8 weeks? I think he's getting knee surgery.
Well, yeah, I heard 4 to 6, 8, somewhere around there.
I think they're okay. They have Drew Holiday and some other guys that can kind of fit that role. Definitely not like Tyreek, but at least be there for the time being. I like Eric Gordon.
He's actually one of the healthy ones right now. That's surprising.
He's going to be,
And Holiday's got the minutes restriction, so.
Yep.
All right, so they're in that mid-40s win range.
I do like Gentry. I think Gentry's an excellent coach and a brilliant mind. I just think they need one more person and to be healthy.
We'll see. I like Pondexter, too. It would be nice if he can get back.
Yeah.
He's a good weapon for them. Minnesota Timberwolves.
Next.
This is not fair. I'm really excited to watch them because I love the pieces they have. I love how Shabazz Muhammad has come into something, and I want to see him play more. I want to see Zach Levine. Is it Levine or Levine? I always mess that up.
Yeah, I think
Zach get some minutes.
Andrew Wiggins looks like he's really becoming...
Exactly. He's legit.
A cornerstone, yeah. Carl Anthony Towns, he's going to be... He's a good pick.
I'm excited.
I want to see him.
I'm excited to watch them, but it's not. This is not breaking news that they will not be contending for anything this year.
And Ricky Rubio is kind of fun to watch.
I love watching Ricky Rubio.
He can't shoot.
He's one of the best. Anything. All right, Memphis Grizzlies, contenders or pretenders?
I am taking the Memphis Grizzlies as contenders.
That's a wise move. It's very prudent.
What don't I like about the Memphis? They shooting. Kind of ran out. They're shooting.
So they know what. I love that they know what they are. They have a clear identity, and they don't try to be something they're not.
Defense,
which is
we're
going to
pound you inside.
Yeah,
I mean,
exactly.
That is it.
They know the front court is their strength.
They need a shooter.
Courtney Lee is there, but they need that other shooter.
You need one more. You need to have that threat. On an opposite wing, otherwise teams can load up on your side and typically contend with that 3-point shot. I mean,
it's the Tony Allen phenomenon. It's or the Tony Allen paradox.
Mm-hmm.
Someone that is seemingly great for your team chemistry. I mean, he embodies a lot of the culture that they represent. He's a great defender, but he's somewhat of a liability on offense at this point. So how do you balance? Like if he doesn't start. Right, and they start Matt Barnes instead because Matt Barnes is a better shooter, let's say, right? What does that do to morale and chemistry and everything else? I mean, that's a real decision that's very hard to quantify that you have to actually weigh. I mean, so it's curious to see. They're contenders, but, I mean, the Warriors, the Rockets, the Spurs, the Thunder, the Clippers, arguably all five of those teams are better than them. They're the sixth seed in that scenario? Like, that's crazy.
All five of those teams that you just mentioned are also, top five teams in 3-point shooting. And when your job is to bang inside, we're going to beat you up on both ends of the court. Sometimes that 3-point shooting is kind of thorn. It's right there. We just can't do anything. They don't want to take it inside. Yeah. Or they drive and dish, and it hurts them. I mean, Conley being healthy is going to help. Jeff Green could be a big deal if he, depending on which Jeff Green you get.
Yeah,
he could
true.
Be a great Jeff Green, or he could be, you know, well,
ugh. Yeah, you know? That's fair. That's very fair. So Kevin's got the Grizzlies at 45 wins. Nick has the Grizzlies at 52 wins. I'd lean more towards the 50, but I run out of wins when I start trying to guess it at different Western Conference teams. All I know is they're going to be very good. They're very consistent. They'll be right in the mix.
They will.
Health could work in mysterious ways and bump them up higher. Who knows what'll happen?
Maybe somebody finds a three-point shot. Somebody else finds a three-point shot.
For this next team, all we're really gonna I'm gonna ask you two questions. One, does Kobe Bryant play this entire season healthy? Does he make it through the whole season?
No.
Ouch. And subset to that, is this Kobe Bryant's last season?
You know, I would say yes, but, you know, Kobe Bryant kind of has that one kind of quality. Now, I don't compare anybody to Jordan. To me, Jordan's the best ever. But Kobe does share a little bit of that
tenacity.
And he wants to play. If he can play, if he's 65, if Jordan could sign a deal right now, he would play. You know, I mean, he would. He's that kind of player. He always wants to go out there, and he's always going to think he's the best player on the court. Kobe has that same kind of, you know, feeling. I think his body's just worn down. There's no way he can make it through these long seasons. And if I were the Lakers and you think you're going to slide into the playoffs, I don't think they are.
No.
Not anywhere close.
No. But that's fine. This team wasn't built to make it to the playoffs.
No.
I mean, D'Angelo Russell could be phenomenal. I'm excited to see him, actually. Julius Randle, we saw for, a game last year?
Yeah.
And so he's basically a rookie. The two of them, that's a core you can start to build around. If they
can't tank, build around Nick Young?
If they tank hard enough, I'm not even acknowledging that as a statement. If they tank hard enough, I think their first-round pick is top three protected. So do these real questions, again, before the season even starts, how good do you want to be?
I think they're going to try. They're going to push, and I'm thinking close to midway through the season, they're going to reevaluate where they're at and be like, okay, Kobe's done. We're done. Let's go ahead and tank. Let's get that first, that top three pick. Let's play the young guys. Let them get some chemistry. Go for that top three. Kobe, you saw the LaMarcus Aldridge thing. He said Kobe was the main reason he did not sign. That's actually true, I don't know, but
I'll tell you what, from a pure fan's perspective, from someone that was a kid when he watched Jordan go through all those championships and retire, personally at this point, because Kobe's reputation at this point is what is all based on recency, which is unfair, and I would personally love to see him play this whole season and it be his last season for the sake of his, what he represents within basketball.
Mm-hmm.
I would love to see a final chapter close out where he plays the whole year, plays at his level, can go out on his own terms, but then actually goes out. Because the prolonged fade for superstars, and I get that the same thing that drives them to keep playing is what makes them have these awkward ends to their career. But I would love to just see it kind of end. That would be, I think, best. Honestly, it would be best for the Lakers franchise. Because then they can get on to rebuilding. They'll have a ton of cap room when his contract comes off the books. And then they can go at, trying to get some of these big names that they've been trying to get at. Having said that, I mean, who knows what will happen.
No.
I'll tell you what we know won't happen. They're not going to make the playoffs.
No, I don't think they get above 35 games.
But the other team in Los Angeles will make the playoffs.
Yes, they will.
They're making the playoffs. But are the Clippers contenders or pretenders to you? Within, the championship echelon.
The championship echelon?
Yeah, it's going to be the Thunder echelon.
Oh, I think if they beat the Thunder, if they end up playing each other, I don't think they'll end up playing each other.
You think the Clippers are better than the Thunder?
If Chris Paul's healthy.
Yeah.
I just think he has a way of controlling Westbrook that Westbrook doesn't like. Not defensively.
He's an irritant.
And Westbrook doesn't like to slow down. He doesn't like that slow game that Chris Paul can just sit there and run the shot clock down to zero.
For sure.
You got nobody's going to touch Durant. Nobody can guard him over there. Nobody can do it. Nobody can really guard Westbrook, for that matter. But they can play their own style of game. Blake Griffin was... he was a man the last playoffs.
His playoffs were amazing.
They have Paul Pierce this year. And if they can rest Paul Pierce, and then he can do anything, just come close to what he did in the playoffs for the Wizards last year, that's huge. That's something they did not have. J.J. Redick, if he keeps shooting, that's going to be nice. DeAndre Jordan is DeAndre Jordan. And I mean, if CP can just stay healthy.
Tell you what I do like. They did good work to their bench. They didn't have a bench last year. I mean, they had Big Baby Davis. They had Hugh Turklew. They had Spencer Hawes. They had Austin Rivers. That bench was not easy on the eyes. It was a situation. And it really kind of led to their demise.
Jamal Crawford and Lance Stephenson. I think if somebody could find a way to get into Lance Stephenson's head,
if they can get him back to that Pacers Lance Stephenson, right? Let's hope that last year was more of a fluke than anything else with the Hornets. I have, much like how I feel about the Kings, I have irrational feelings for Josh Smith. I think Seth Partnow and I are about the last two people in the Twitter sphere that are still on Josh Smith Island. I remain convinced that Josh Smith is a productive, valuable NBA player if used correctly in appropriate dosage. It's like he comes with a doctor's label on the prescription for Josh Smith saying, use as directed, like twice a day only, like kind of thing. If you use him right, he is phenomenal.
Yeah,
but he has to be used right.
I think Doc Rivers is the best choice
for
coach.
If there were to be a matchup.
For those, personalities like Josh Smith, Lance Stephenson, I think Doc Rivers may have the best, angle into their heads, whatever their psyche is, and whatever they do that makes them, you know, have a great game or a great 2 minutes, and then all of a sudden it's like, what are you doing?
Right.
Get off.
These next two, honestly, it's the Rockets and the Warriors. They're going to be two of the best teams in the West.
Absolutely.
They're obviously contenders.
Yes.
Is there anything to say at this point? We could do a whole podcast on both how great they are.
Do you think Golden State has a chance to repeat?
I don't think there's a chance. I think it's a damn near certainty at this point. I think they are the favorite, and no one else has any business claiming otherwise. They were so good last year, and there is no reason to think they're going to be any less good this year.
How'd you feel about their offseason?
It was everything you could hope for.
Yep.
I mean, it was great. They even drafted well. They got Kevon Looney from UCLA. I mean, they're ridiculous. They continue to amaze me, and until someone can show systematically how to defeat them, they might not win 67 games this year. They might win 70, though.
As far as
I can tell, no one's cracked the code on how to legitimately beat them. No. Unless you just say, oh, we have LeBron James and we're going to beat you that way for a couple games. There's only one team that has them.
Yeah.
And they only play them twice.
Exactly.
So maybe they'll go 80-2. I'm kidding. But the point being, no one's cracked the code on them, so there's no reason to think they're not the best in the league.
I think the Ben Gordon pickup for them.
Did he make the roster?
I don't know if he made the final roster, but when I saw it, I was like, that's a perfect pickup.
Right? No,
you know, I didn't even check to see if he made the final roster, but right. I mean, somebody you get coming off the bench can shoot like that. I am sad to see Ben Gordon kind of, his fall from grace was quick, fast, and in a hurry. He came in the league and played very well and then just dropped.
One of my guys from UConn, for sure. Yeah. Loved him. All right, what do we have next? We have the Denver Nuggets. Ooh, contenders or pretenders?
I do not. It's just so loaded. I'm excited to see Emmanuel
Mudiay.
He's gonna be a good player to watch. I just don't think they have enough weapons.
No, they're not ready. They're pretenders.
They're not ready.
That's fine. Mudiay is gonna be great. He could be a Rookie of the Year guy. Fareed could play like a beast. Gallinari is healthy and back. They need some time to gel. Mm-hmm.
Chandler's?
Nurkic, I really like him. And then they got a few other dudes, big men in the back that I like. They're building something.
Fareed's a beast, but he needs something on offense. He needs a touch. He needs something. He needs just one move.
He needs something.
Slash. Yes.
His best, I think it was Adam Mares wrote over the offseason, his best usage is when you don't feed him in the post, let him slash to the rim.
Yep.
And just use him right.
Absolutely.
All right, last team in the West, and then we're out of the West, is the Dallas Mavericks, contenders or pretenders?
I like what they did this year. It's loaded. I think they're borderline contenders.
Wow, I'd really disagree with you.
Yeah? Sweet, hey, we had to have one.
Well, we've had a couple, that's for sure. The Kings were one of them.
We've had a few.
I disagree because of health. And normally I'm quick to say, wow, we can't just predict health. But in this case, no, they're already busted. Like, Darren Williams is chronically hurt, and he's hurt right now. Wes Matthews is coming off an Achilles tear. Chandler Parsons had microfracture surgery over the offseason. And Dirk isn't, I think Dirk is healthy, he's just older.
He's just 37.
Yeah, so, and they didn't get DeAndre Jordan, which is a bummer. They've been known to do some good stuff with what they have to work with, but I just don't think this is the right year for them. I don't think they make the playoffs. And it is what
I don't think they're going to make the playoffs either. They're very borderline, and to be quite honest, being injured now is much better than being injured later, you know, come January time frame, something like that, you know. So, if you're going to have the injuries, now is the time.
You know what else I'll say? I actually like Pachulia. I like him as a big man.
Yeah.
But I don't think they make the playoffs. All right, so since we just got to the top of the alphabet, how about we just start at the top with the East? Atlanta Hawks, contenders or pretenders?
I don't think they have a season like they did last year.
60 wins is hard to replicate.
That's hard to replicate, especially for a team that is not... I just don't think they're built to have that kind of season again. I do like T. Korver shot out of his mind last year, but then just disappeared.
I'm not sure about Teague.
I like T. He's a solid point guard. He's a bargain point guard, at least.
He's an all-star point guard.
Yeah.
Kevin and Nick have him at 45 and 48 wins. I feel like that's about right.
Cephalosha, whatever his name is. I think that injury definitely hurt them going into the playoffs. Their series with Cleveland could have been a lot different.
They were definitely missing him. They make
they make the playoffs.
This is gonna sound weird. I'm gonna call them pretenders.
But they make the playoffs, but they
might not get out of the first round.
The East is a very different animal than the West.
It's gonna come down to matchups. But after I've sounded like I'm so down on them, the Eastern Conference teams really haven't figured out a good way to defeat that offense. And that offense was a fine-tuned machine. And it was kind of a plug-and-play offense, so I'll be curious to see what Tim Hardaway Jr. can do in that system once he's finally got some discipline to play with.
If he has
it. Within an offensive system, I think that could be really good for him. So they're going to miss Damari Carroll a lot, but I don't think they go very far.
No, I think the Wizards beat them last year, had John Wall not got hurt.
Yeah.
I think their up-tempo kind of play, small ball, tough defense, really kind of pushed them to the brink. John Wall got hurt, messed up. Even just missing him not being 100% just took it out. It just took them out of their rhythm. And the Wizards needed a few more weapons. They couldn't shoot. They shot a lot of bad shots. So I'm kind of with you. Pretenders that make the playoffs, and based on matchup, they're probably going to be a first round out.
Yeah.
They get a great matchup and they...
Yeah,
you know,
exactly. I could see any of that being possible, obviously. All right, Boston Celtics. Contenders or pretenders?
I like what Brad Stevens is doing over there.
You mean future president Brad Stevens?
Yes.
There's like a cult-like following around the Brad Stevens movement right now.
I love the David Lee pickup for them.
That is a good fit, I suppose.
I think they're a 40-45 win team.
So Nick has them at 46 wins, and Kevin has them at 49 wins. I don't think they make the playoffs. No, I take that back. They make the. I'm sorry, that was too strong. I said that just to elicit a reaction. They make the playoffs. It's the East. What am I thinking?
They make the playoffs. I don't know.
I guess part of my frustration is they have a team of complementary players. It seems like, and all of them would seemingly fit well around a star. So they've been successful in building up the team minus that one key piece. But they fit together weird. Like, the backcourt confuses me. Who do you play in crunch time when you have Avery Bradley, Marcus Smart, and Isaiah Thomas? Yes, yeah. And do you play them all? Okay, if you do, then what are you doing with your front court? Is it Amir Johnson and David Lee? Is it Zeller? Is it Sullinger? Is it Olynyk? Like, all those guys are kind of... Oh, and then we didn't even talk about Jay Crowder, mm-hmm. who needs to be on the floor, too. So it's like, good thing Brad Stevens is a future president, because he's going to have to make these hard decisions, I feel like. So it's just a weird fit.
I agree with everything you just said.
You know who doesn't make the playoffs?
Huh?
The Brooklyn Nets.
No, they do not.
No. No. Here's a question for you. Does Joe Johnson get traded this year?
Oh, yeah. Maybe not during the year. Definitely.
Well, he'll be a free agent at the end of the season.
Yeah. Oh, that's right. Do you think they're going to... Is anybody going to trade for him, though?
I think a desperate team that's on the fringe of either, like, they're in the middle of the pack and they want to be a top team, or they're at the bottom of the pack and they want to get into the playoffs.
Injury trade kind of thing?
I think he's the guy you trade for to be the 6th, 7th man off the bench and run the second unit and score all of your points.
All of
the points. Yeah. I've actually always liked him as a player. I think he kind of got a raw deal with, like, when he signed that big contract.
A lot of guys,
like,
that happens.
It was just... like, well, he was actually a really good player. So,
I don't disagree.
It'd be nice to see him compete.
He's a good player.
Charlotte Hornets, contenders or pretenders?
It's a soft East.
It is a soft East.
But I do not. Okay, Kemba.
I'll help you out. They're
Walker's
pretenders.
All right. Al Jefferson, Tony Zeller.
I'll help you out. They're pretenders. Michael Kidd-Gilchrist is out for the year. Their wing defender.
Right. I totally forgot about
that. I wrote a whole article the other day about how they replace him.
Pretenders.
I feel bad because, no, they've got a good core. I want to see Kemba make a leap. I want to see what Kaminsky can do. And I think Batum was a really smart pickup for them. But Kid Gilchrist is going to hurt because Al Jefferson typically isn't a strong at-the-rim defender. So when you've got a strong wing defender, you've got a little leeway there. Once you lose that... You've got to beef up the front court D, which means what do you do? Zeller is decent. You've even got Tyler Hansbrough.
The biggest pickup in free agency, Jeremy Lin, is on that team.
Okay, so the next team is the Chicago Bulls. Are the Bulls contenders or pretenders?
The Bulls are contenders. I am very anxious to see the Bulls with a new coach. I want to see them rest their star players a little bit, count some minutes, you know, play the game. It's an 82-game season.
Play the game like it is in 2015?
Yes. Rest your players.
For all the good things Thibodeau did, you're right. The minutes played, the injuries, it got kind of frustrating and annoying because these teams have been so talented. Although I will say they have a little bit of a logjam also in the front court. You've got Taj Gibson. You've got Bobby Portis, who they just drafted, who looks like a stud. They've got Taj Gibson, I already said. They've got Pau Gasol. They've got Joakim Noah coming back healthier than ever, mm-hmm. right? Then you've got Nikola Mirotic, who is my favorite of that bunch. And he's a great stretch four, maybe a three if you want. But that's five guys for basically two spots. That's hectic, right? I think that gets confusing.
It does. But now you can save Gasol,
true.
And Noah, you can limit their minutes, give the other guys some more run. Now, Taj Gibson doesn't really need the minutes. He's there. Mirotić, whatever, you said his name perfectly. Yeah. He could use some more minutes.
Yes.
But he was used most heavily in March of last year, and then he kind of, dropped after that. But it's good to have a logjam, especially when your logjam... Other than, Derrick Rose is in an area that you have your starters are just, Gasol's older. Noah's got the nagging knee injury. Don't forget about Dougie McBuckets on there, too.
I'm trying to forget about him. I'm more excited about Tony Snell than most. I think he's the kind of guy that gets a shot in Hoiberg's system. I think he's a good shooter, mm-hmm. and I think he's a good player, and he just hasn't had an opportunity. I'm more excited about him than I am about McDermott, just because I think Snell is a better defender, so he's a better all-around player.
Yeah, I mean, McDermott's a big boy, though.
Little bold thing to say here. I'm actually pretty interested in Butler, Portis, Snell.
going and Mirotić going forward.
You're gonna
those four guys intrigue me the most within the Bulls. And Rose is Rose. Oh, Rose is always a Rose. How's that for you? But and then the other bigs, like Gasol's only got a year or two left with the Bulls probably and all that. But I think they've got a core with a new coach and a new system. I'm kind of excited about them. But I tend to get a little overexcited about the Bulls.
But the Bulls, you also have to remember that, you know, Derrick Rose at his best is when he drives to the bucket. When he penetrates, that's when he's at his best. However, that's also your, you know, for him, that's everybody watching him's worst nightmare. You don't want to see him get in the air because he's going, I mean, he is Mr. Glass right now.
Yeah.
And that's, whether it's, you know, him not toughing through some things or his body's just, he's just one of those guys. You know, he just gets hurt.
Growing up watching Grant Hill and Penny Hardaway, it's heartbreaking to watch.
It is.
It's way too reminiscent, unfortunately.
Very much. I mean, not Grant Hill had a decent career after. He was able to change his game. Penny was never kind of the same after his.
Sure.
And that's something you fear with Derrick Rose because his shot doesn't seem to be... It's getting better, but it's not where it needs to be for him to kind of change his game.
All right, they're contenders.
Yes. This
is 30 seconds or less, probably. The Cleveland Cavaliers.
Contenders.
Yeah.
Injuries
are
going to
be huge. Give me
your
thoughts about Tristan Thompson.
$82 million guaranteed for a guy who's a great rebounder.
I'm excited for Tristan Thompson, the human being. That's
I am
fantastic.
Too. As a
good,
human being.
Good for you, Tristan.
That's a double high five, a chest bump, whatever you. I mean, that's amazing. And way to hold out to get the money.
Kevin Arnovitz said this the other day that this might be the first season where we have two. Well, I guess he didn't get a max, but two near max players in him and Cantor that are actually six men.
Oh, yeah.
Like, what a world we live in now. You don't even start and you make that kind of call.
Well, that's he peaked and made a name for himself right at the right time. And you do that in the playoffs and the finals, you'll get that contract.
Do the Cavaliers make the finals, the NBA finals?
All going to depend on health. I think it's not a good sign when LeBron getting injections already in his back. And to me, this is the same guy who got carried off the court for cramps. Your back is wrenched. I mean, could you imagine him, you know, pulling a Larry Bird, laying on the ground? I don't see him getting back in the game and being the dominant force like he was.
It's
Kyrie Irving, I don't remember the last time he's finished a season healthy.
It's going to be tough.
Yep.
All right, I got another irrational deal here. Detroit Pistons, are they contenders or pretenders to you?
Pretenders. Nick
and Kevin have them at 38 and 33 wins.
That sounds about right. I just don't... Nobody jumps off of their roster that scares you, even in the softer East. I think there's other teams that are going to sneak in there. You know what I mean? They could be good. They could be, but they're probably not going
to
be.
I wanted to be polite. I wanted to be polite and let you finish your thought. That way I could then tell you how wrong you are about this.
Tell me!
Because... They are my East Coast Kings, right? I am irrational about the Detroit Pistons.
Rich Jackson fan.
For a handful of reasons. One, Andre Drummond. He's about to become the best center in the East. Name me a better center this year in the East. You're not going to be able to.
I don't think centers...
Andre Drummond.
Centers,
doesn't matter. No.
Centers don't make... They don't carry you like they used to.
No, you are wrong.
You can't be carried by... It's a three-point shooting league.
Yes, exactly. That's my point. So remember the 2009, 10, and 11 Orlando Magic? We're about to witness it in Michigan. You're going to have Drummond in the post. You're going to have Ilyasova on the wing. You're going to have Jody Meeks on the wing. You're going to have Brandon Jennings. You're going to have Reggie Jackson. You're going to have Kentavious Caldwell-Pope. You are going to have shooters galore around that three-point line. You're going to have Drummond picking, rolling, diving, and dunking, making the All-Star game, and then making the playoffs. I cannot wait to watch Detroit this year. They are so high on my list of teams. Stan Van Gundy is a gangster when it comes to basketball analytics in all the right ways. And I love it. So,
like
there's
it.
My take.
You're making me want to... Yeah, I'm about to get a Detroit
they even got
jersey
they,
now. Look
you know what? You should because they got new chrome ones, apparently. They look great. Alternates. All right. Indiana Pacers. Contenders or pretenders?
I want to say contenders. I think George is coming back and looks good. And I think with him, that's a good team. I mean, he's one of those guys that he can put you over the top. I'm not saying over the top, like finals, but in the playoffs. What are you thinking?
I'm going to go ahead and say they're pretenders.
You think?
I don't think they make the playoffs. I don't have much to base this on. I have concerns about their big men. Ion Mahimi is good, but he's normally been good as a backup big man. Jordan Hill is kind of projected to be their main big guy at this point, unless the rookie Miles Turner steps up. The point is, I recognize what you just said about big men in this league. However, Paul George is their new stretch four. They need a dominant big guy to go with him.
They do.
I'd love to see Turner step in and be that guy, but realistically, that's a weird pairing. What was so dominant about the Pacers, their identity, was their defense and their big men. And now, they're going to be a run-and-gun team, completely different than we've seen before. I think they might be better than last year, just by having Paul George there. But I don't think they make the playoffs. And that's not the Knicks fan in me saying that. That's just me being honest. It doesn't... I don't see it with
George
them.
Hill, Monta Ellis, Roy Hibbert was not very good last year.
No, he wasn't, but I think they're gonna gain an appreciation for him being gone with his defense. So he's never been a good offensive player. The expectation was just unreasonable there. But on defense, that was just a force to be reckoned with. So
that's
gonna be a tricky one.
Yeah.
Ooh, here's a good one. Miami Heat. Contenders or pretenders?
If they gel and Wade can stay healthy, Bosch can stay healthy, if he keeps getting better, and Dragic really needs to, his shot has been horrible.
With them, he's an all-star.
No, he's a fantastic player, and his career would tell you otherwise. You know, his shot's going to come around.
Mm-hmm.
If they can gel, I think they're contenders.
They could arguably be the second best team in the East. They could be anywhere from 2 to 5, I would think.
Yeah, well, Dang sitting there too. I mean,
so their starting lineup has always been their strength. What I love is they have a bench now. Josh McRoberts, that now that he's healthy, that's going to be
he's
nice.
He's one of the smartest players.
Justice Winslow, I'm excited about that. And Mario Chalmers coming off the bench, I think it's a good role for him.
If they can carve out a nice niche for Stoudemire too, mm-hmm. and really cut his minutes down where he can be impactful for, you know, very limited amount of minutes per game, he's huge. I mean, he still has some game left. He's just, he needs limited insertion.
Absolutely. Milwaukee Bucks, contenders or pretenders?
They are a very interesting team. They kind of came out of nowhere.
Well, they were two seasons ago, they were the worst team in the league. Last year, they vault all the way up and make the playoffs, surprise everyone. Now, this year, they're projecting low. Kevin and Nick have them at 40 wins and 35 wins, which 40 wins is enough to get into the East. But
they have some players
coming
back.
You would think they're moving upwards.
Yeah, Jabari Parker's coming back.
I'm excited about Jabari Parker.
Chris Middleton, great, great shooter.
Mm-hmm.
Greg Monroe. I like Greg Monroe. I like his game, the way he plays.
I'm actually high on the Bucks. I like them.
Yeah, I like them too. Michael Carter Williams.
I'm not really sold on Carter Williams yet. Just not sure. I'd be more down on him if his head coach wasn't Jason Kidd. Jason Kidd has a way to motivate some of his guys, and the man is a Hall of Fame point guard. Like that, if anyone was gonna teach Carter Williams. Learning from
but
Jason
he adjusted down the road. He started to really kind of...
He still can't shoot.
No, that's fine. He's got other people that can shoot.
He's still got to be able to shoot, though, because they're so long that they need some shooters for sure.
You got Grievous Vasquez coming
off
the bench.
I like that pickup. That's
good. OJ Mayo... You don't know kind of what you're
going to get. You don't know with OJ, but that's okay. I think he's a great bench scorer at this point. Recognizing that that's his fit... I think that's good.
Mm-hmm.
I see them in the playoffs.
I do too.
Here's one that touches my heart. The New York Knicks. Are they contenders or pretenders?
I'm sorry to disappoint you, but I have to say pretenders.
There's no disappointment there. What I will say about them is they are once again a NBA franchise.
Yes.
We couldn't say that for most of last year.
No.
Right? No, they made basketball moves in the offseason to become a basketball team again. Robin Lopez, great pickup. Aaron Aflalo, potentially dangerous, but good pickup. Derek Williams, whatever. Kyle O'Quinn, fantastic pickup. I'm a big Kyle O'Quinn fan. I'm looking forward to see how he fits. I think a pairing with him and Melo, so they're not always going to play Melo at a stretch four like they should, right? But when you pair those two together and you throw Robin Lopez in there,
You've got two guys that don't demand the ball, and Melo does. That makes, I think, for a great front court.
Don't forget about Galloway.
No, I like him too, for sure. Absolutely. Mm-hmm. They don't make the playoffs, I don't think, but I'm happy with the direction they're going in. Again, they've become a normal franchise again.
Yeah,
they
no, I like them. A lot's going to depend on Melo. You know, obviously, his will to play on both sides of the court. Them adapting to this triangle offense. I think with Calderon and some of those guys, they have some people that can play the triangle and things like that. So they're they could very well. I wouldn't be shocked if they snuck in, and I'm not shocked if they don't make it.
If they're above 30 wins, I think this season is a good. They're moving in the right direction.
Yeah, absolutely.
So that's good. That way to be a pretender. That's good. Here's another fringe one: the Orlando Magic.
They're
a trendy pick right now.
They are, and they're interesting. They have some very good players. They're young. Oladipo's great.
Do they make the playoffs?
No.
Scott Skiles is always good for that 1 to 2 year bump in wins to sneak someone. I would venture they don't make it this year, but they do make it next year.
Mm-hmm.
I'm not as high on them as some. There's a little bit of variation here. Kevin's got them at 35 wins. Yeah, and Nick has them at 28 wins. That's a big difference there. I mean, if you're under 30, that's kind of rough. I'd see them somewhere in the middle. Like you were saying, I like Oladipo. I like Peyton a lot, too.
Yeah.
I think another year to gel together and develop a defensive identity will be good for them.
Mm-hmm. Aaron Gordon, if he can stay healthy,
yeah.
I mean, he's...
He can jump through the building. Yep. Like, I think he can actually jump over this house. So, I mean...
Makes a lot of sense.
Yeah, I think that'll be good, but... I
need another year.
We're in agreement on that. The Philadelphia 76ers are next. Here's the question.
Over them?
Yes. You know what we're gonna say? Are they gonna have the worst record in the league next year?
Now, that could depend on how bad the Lakers and some of these other teams, if they start tanking. It could be a tank battle. Jahlil Okafor, he's gonna be okay. He's not going to wow anybody.
I think he is.
You think he's gonna?
I'm excited about him. I don't think they're gonna have the worst record in the league next year. I don't know who will, but I don't think it's going to be them.
Okafor, Noel, Stauskas, Covington.
I think this could be good to see Stauskas, what he can do. He didn't really get a fair shake last year as a rookie. So they had two completely redundant players. They had McLemore and him. They were essentially the same guy. I'm curious to see what he can do.
I mean, you know, they'd be a first 76ers team that's interesting to watch in a while.
I think they will be interesting to watch, honestly.
At least see where they go. If they're progressing, I mean, they have some weapons. They have a lot of young guys, so.
Yeah, yeah, that's true. That's fair. All right. Wow. Two more teams. Toronto Raptors. Contenders or pretenders?
I think they're contenders.
Yeah, that's pretty fair. Do you think they're as good as last year?
Nope. I don't know. Last year's going to be hard to match. Their intensity level was extremely high last year, and they were just tough.
I think they won about 49 games last year. The different projections from Kevin and Nick have them at 48 and 47. Seems about right. I think Damari Carroll pickup is very good.
Mm-hmm.
A little better defensive identity. There's still some questions at power forward. You can move Carroll there to play a stretch four a little bit.
It's a little different system. Mm-hmm. Carroll definitely.
You know who fit good there? I think. Markieff Morris.
Yeah.
I mean, the other thing would have been Tristan Thompson, obviously, the whole Canadian thing and all that, but that's just too trendy.
Yeah.
No, I think you're right. I think there's a logjam at about 2 through 6 in the Eastern Conference, and any of those teams, like what winds up being the 6 could have been the 2 and anywhere in between.
It's going to be health. It's going to be all kinds of different things. Toronto was they were tough. They've added some good picks.
Yeah,
who knows? You know, you were spot on when you said there's a logjam.
Yeah.
And it could be anybody's, you know.
For sure. So for the record, I just want to say my little 60-minute goal, we met. We're under an hour right now, which is good.
Because now we have to talk about the Washington Wizards. So if you're listening and you don't want to hear a couple of homers be homers about the Wizards, I'm just kidding. It's not that bad. No, now would be the time to pause this and go buy the HP season preview. But, all right, the Washington Wizards, are they contenders or pretenders?
Contenders.
I agree with you.
I think they got a lot of promise.
They're part of that logjam. They're part of that 2-3-6.
They are. And honestly, they're one of the teams in the East, depending on health. I don't think they're better than the Cavaliers, but they are built to give the Cavaliers just all kinds of just issues. And how the Cavs rest or how they deal with injuries to Kyrie, because it's going to happen, and LeBron's back, how it holds up. John Wall looks great.
John Wall's going to be an MVP candidate this year.
They have their new system. I think so. If they push their record like they did and they elevate their game, absolutely he's in the talk. I love the system they're pushing, you know, pushing the basketball. No more of these long twos, even though it's long two. That's but, fair. You know, so they led the league in long-range twos. And, you know, if you're 6-8 inches in front of the three-point line, it is one of the worst shots you can take because just move back. You get that extra point, your percentage basically goes, it doesn't change, you know, a bit.
The system they adopted in the playoffs seems to be here to stay, which is promising. What do you think about the Paul Pierce to Otto Porter and or Jared Dudley transition?
Paul Pierce is going, what he did in the playoffs is going to be hard to replace. I think somebody like Bradley Beal, maybe even a John Wall is ready to kind of take that. Now, he's not going to be the shooter that Pierce was, but I think Bradley Beal can. The other thing is if they're able to play this up-tempo type game, that could, you know, lead them into better, you know, better seating in the playoffs, things like that, to where they have a little easier time where they're not having to be pushed by these teams. I like Jared Dudley's ability to shoot. He's going to take some time to kind of get back to it. Bradley Beal, he's an all-star. He will be an all-star this year.
Seems fair.
I think Otto, man, he really turned it up. He's looking good. You got Chris Humphreys shooting three-pointers now.
I don't want to see that. I don't think that's a good idea.
It's, you know what, if he could step out and make them, it's worth a shot, right?
I don't know if it is.
Alan Anderson is a good pickup.
That's right. Alan Anderson's very good.
He won't be. He'll be back probably November time frame. Gortat, I think, is ready to, you know, run with his starting role. And if they can limit Nene to where he's an impact in the playoffs, that's going to be huge because he's a big body that can. He's got a great soft touch and can, you know, play some tough D. And they are what? Well, they were third ranked team in the NBA last year. Defense.
Yeah, their defense is normally pretty stout. I think they'll be very good, especially when you swap out Porter for Pierce. I think the defense, that helps the defense.
Mm-hmm.
So, yeah, I think they'll be very good. I think they'll be very good. So, let's get let's hit up a Twitter question, and then we'll do some wild predictions, and then we'll get out of here. How's that sound?
Let's go.
All right, so from Andrew Johnson, so at Counting Baskets on Twitter, right? He asks, who do you think is going to have the biggest non-injury cliff dive season?
The biggest non-injury cliff dive season.
Mm-hmm. This is actually a hard question. I've been thinking about this for a little bit now.
Biggest non-injury cliff dive season. I would have to say it could probably be the Toronto Raptors.
Ooh, okay.
I'm going to tie it. It's either going to be the Toronto Raptors or, actually, I'm going to stay both Eastern Conference, Toronto Raptors or the Atlanta Hawks.
Okay.
Maybe the Trailblazers, actually.
So the Blazers and the Nets are my two picks, I think.
The Nets have just didn't really...
Well, the Nets made the playoffs.
That's true, so, they did.
I mean, I think they'll probably... likely maybe being the 20 wins, like the 20s, mm-hmm. It seems like, which is a pretty hard drop-off in the Blazers. The Blazers were so good last year that they're going to fall out of the playoffs most likely, so they'll be...
Right, and that's what I was thinking. I was thinking, you know, your highest seeds in those playoffs, you know, that were tough playoff outs. You know, you got Atlanta Hawks. I don't know if they can sustain that. The Blazers definitely, but losing Aldridge and losing the players they did, mm-hmm. It's going to be a serious nosedive for them, too.
All right. So I think we fairly agree on that. Mm-hmm. Who do you have in the conference finals in each conference? Let's start in the West.
In the West, I am going Golden State and I think it's going to be the Clippers.
Ooh, okay, I like it. I say Golden State, Oklahoma City.
Oh, I like it.
We'll see what happens. We'll see if Anthony Morrow's really the solution to two guard or if that two guard hasn't been acquired yet.
I think it's great. You know, we don't know much about Donovan's system and stuff, too, so for sure. We can see.
The talent is just there. Who do you have in the East?
I got the Wizards, and barring no injuries, the Cavs, but I'm really kind of teetering. I think they're going to have a big injury this year. Again.
The Cavs-Wizards is actually mine, too.
Yeah.
And that's any local homerism aside. The second best team in the East is kind of a crapshoot at this point between mm-hmm. the Heat, the Wizards, the Bulls, the Raptors. There's just plenty of good teams right there.
What really gets me with the Cavs and the Bulls, not as much the Wizards because they don't have that track record, but the Cavs and the Bulls are both very injury-prone teams, and they're both reliant on something, you know. If Derrick Rose is out, the Bulls team is not the same. But yet, they do play pretty well without him because mm-hmm. not used to him. Now, the Cavs, they're used to Kyrie Irving not being there. But if LeBron gets hurt, and I think on the Bulls, if Jimmy Butler or something like that gets hurt, they're... Mm-hmm.
So, they're we gotta... If we went this far, we might as well just round it out. Okay, who do you have in the NBA Finals then? You said Warriors, Clippers, and... Wizards, Cavs, right?
I'm taking the Warriors again. Mm-hmm. I agree with you that nobody's really kind of found a way to stop them.
Yeah.
And I think their shooters weren't lucky. They are all shooters. They've always been shooters. They will always be shooters. They've added decent depth. Not like they need it anymore, but I think they're all buying in on a philosophy, which is hard to find.
Yeah.
So I have Golden State, and on the East, I mean, you want to go Cavs, but everybody's taking the Cavs. I'm going to say, I can't go with the homer.
Do what you feel, that's fine.
I can't say Wizards.
I have Warriors-Cavs.
I got Warriors-Cavs, too.
I have the Cavs winning.
Because as a homer, I'll say Wizards, but I just don't think they're not quite there yet. I think they one more year, and I think they contend.
I'm just gonna say the Cavs win it all. I have literally zero rational reasons for that. The only rational reason I have is assuming health, that they were able to pick up some games on the Warriors last year with that adapted style. But there's no good reason for that thought at this point. But I'm just saying Cavs because it's October 22nd. And a half a year from now, we'll see how dumb this sounds.
Hey, I got Golden State taking it all.
It's probably the right pick.
I don't think Cleveland lasts the whole year. I really, LeBron getting the back and the injections into his back. That's something that.
It's all fair.
Yeah.
It's all very fair.
That should scare you if you're a Cleveland Cavaliers fan. Back problems are.
Well, there you have it. That's a season preview right there. Yeah. I think.
In 60 minutes?
Yeah, so a little over. It's not bad.
4 minutes?
Hour and 10, we're fine. There we go. So, nylancalculus.com. I write a bunch of stuff there. You should go read all the good authors that do good work there. You can get this on Audio Boom. You can get it on the HP Basketball Network. Go read all the HP stuff. The HP season preview is out right now. It's $5. It's totally worth those $5. And yeah, I think that's about it. I'm at hoop_nerd. Steve is at...
Gonna find a Twitter handle soon.
Yeah, there you have it. So we'll do this every couple weeks, I say. What do you think?
Yeah, definitely.
Sounds good. Well, thanks for tuning in, and we'll talk to you soon. Have a good one. Enjoy the beginning of the season.